speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
The reason we call this the Word of Life broadcast is because we preach the Word of God. And the Word of God is the Word of Life. It's the plan and it's the pattern for living which God has given us in His great expression of love and grace and mercy. Without the gospel, no man could be guided correctly. I know there's some who claim to be guided by some direct power of the Spirit, but the Bible is the Spirit's sword, and it is that way and will of God that has been provided so that we might know the Word of Life. In John 6:63, He said, "The Spirit giveth life, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life." We realize our heavy responsibility for preaching the Word of God in all of its purity. If any man speak, Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. So to go beyond that or not to come up to that would be certainly not pleasing in the sight of heaven. All men, though, are also responsible for hearing this word preached and obeying it. You remember that Jesus said to the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:15-16. That is so clear, no one can misunderstand it. But if we will hear and obey the word of life, we can purchase to ourselves all things that pertain to life and to godliness. You know, the word envy in the Bible is sometimes wondered about by people. It means to look with ill will, to look against. In other words, by definition, it's that chagrin or discontent at the excellence and the good fortune of another. It is resentful, it is begrudging, it is jealousy and envy. These are all to be distinguished, of course, in a manner that the Bible brings before our minds. We're jealous of our own. We're envious of another man's possessions and good fortune. Jealousy fears to lose what it has. And envy is pained, of course, at seeing another having something that we do not have. Well, in setting forth the sins that come from within, out of the heart of men, Jesus lists an evil eye. You remember that in Mark 7:21-22? Sometimes we find that an evil eye is translated envy in the New Testament. And the sin of envy is indeed the evil eye. Envy pains and destroys a man like a knife in the chest. It splits churches sometimes too, doesn't it? And brings division among brethren. It causes murder. Envy can shrink our circle of friends. It can ruin our business and dwarf our souls. And our personality and our spiritual welfare will be ruined by envy. We should be very careful to keep envy out of our lives, an evil eye. In Proverbs 14:30, he says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy's the rottenness of the bones. In Job 5:2, there we find the writing, for wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. There is a Greek story about a young man who killed himself through envy that illustrates, I believe, well the things that are found in these passages we've read today. This man's fellow citizens had erected a statue to one of their number who was celebrated champion in the public games. But this man, a rival of the honored athlete, was so envious that he vowed that he would destroy the statue. Every night he went out into the darkness and chiseled at the base in an effort to undermine its foundation and to make it fall. It did fall. But guess what? It fell on him, and it killed him. Oftentimes that's what envy does to us. Sometimes we're tempted to envy the wicked man. But the Bible warns us, let not thy heart envy sinners. Proverbs 23:17. Then again in Proverbs 24:1, be not thou envious against the evil man, neither be thou envious against them that work unrighteousness, Psalms 37:1. Envy then the wicked, if we find it in our hearts to envy the wicked, of his prosperity or his apparent success, that doesn't make us happy. It doesn't make us rich. In fact, it doesn't add $1 to our assets, but it does bankrupt our soul. Neither should we envy our closest friends. You know, Joseph's brethren were envious of him. Genesis 37:11. They were so envious of him that they wanted first to kill him. And then, of course, because of the two older brothers, they were talked out of that and decided that they would sell him into Egyptian slavery. Oh, what envy has done! But in the end, of course, a perilous famine forced these brothers to recognize Joseph as being superior. Their envy impoverished their lives, but the intended harm to Joseph never came. Well, you know, envy is a boomerang, isn't it? It's a boomerang-like weapon which hurts the attacker more than the one who is attacked. The envious man somehow feels that other people's fortunes are better than his fortune, and that they are his misfortune, and that their success is his failure, and that their blessing is his curse. The antidote, of course, for envy is genuine love, cultivated for our fellow man. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love envieth not. Well, when we think about these things of envy, of course, we can't help but think of Satan's tools to bring us low, to cause us to be lost. And the Bible is rich in the occasional use of figurative language, but oftentimes it's direct language like that concerning envy. When we think of the figurative language, though, there's some interesting thoughts concerning great spiritual principles that are sometimes taught by comparing one thing with another, or by referring to the qualities of one thing and applying them to another thing. And it's interesting for us to study some traits, even of animals. Many animals are mentioned in the Bible, and these are used to describe the attributes and the practices of men. Now, sometimes these are good and sometimes they're bad. Envy should never enter into any of our thinking, but certainly wherein we find men to be acting in a wrong way, we must hate the evil, though we love the man. Frequently, evil and sinful practices are compared to dangerous and destructive qualities, then, of these animals. As the devil does his work through people, they are used and controlled by him. They may envy. They may do other things. Whether they know it or not, their controlling power is Satan himself. And thus they're like the animals in the devil's menagerie, or in the devil's zoo. Although he turns them loose to do the damage in the world, they remain in his cage, as it were, under his control. Now, I want to look at a few of those this morning with you as we consider envy, and look at the animals in the devil's cage. First, there's the raging bear. Do you remember the bear robbed of her little cubs becomes a symbol of uncontrolled rage? Proverbs 17 and verse 11 says, and Solomon points out in Proverbs 28:15 that a wicked ruler over poor, weak, defenseless people is like a raging bear. Well, envy may cause many times that to come, doesn't it? And sometimes power goes to a person's head, making him a thoughtless, cruel, and vicious tyrant. Then there is the illustration concerning the sly fox. We're familiar with the expression, sly as a fox, aren't we? Jesus called Herod Antipas that fox because he was evidently using the Pharisees in a cunning effort to get Jesus in Jerusalem, where he could more easily do away with him. Notice Luke 13 and verse 32, and you'll see his cunning, crafty plan. The false prophets of Israel were compared to foxes of the desert because they deceitfully worked out of their own spirits rather than faithfully preaching the Word of God, says Ezekiel 13, verse 2 through 4. Well, many men today act like this fox. They're very sly in their actions. We're not to be carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, says Ephesians 4:14. There are many false teachers that are sly as foxes, and they're also, when they are attacked upon their error, as raging bears. Their envy sometimes does the men. Then you recall that vipers or snakes are referred to. There are a number of poisonous snakes in Palestine, which are feared and thought of as a source of sudden and unexpected danger and death. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees were spoken of as a generation of vipers when they came to the baptism of John the Baptist and to Jesus. John commanded them to do things showing true repentance of their wickedness and hypocrisy, and Jesus accused them of being unable to speak good things. Now, these things are found in Matthew 3:7 and Matthew 12:34. And he said they were like those who kill the prophets of God. As such, this generation of vipers could not escape the damnation of hell, Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 33. The devil himself made his first manifestation on earth in the form of a serpent. Well, in noticing these things, Envy has brought men to act like raging bears or the sly fox or even a generation of vipers. And then look at the roaring lion just a minute. You realize that the lion is the king of the forest? And the lion is a dangerous and fierce predator, isn't he? Righteous David prayed to God for protection against the wicked people who were persecuting him. His enemies were described in Psalms chapter 10 and verse 9 as lying in wait for him as a lion in his den. Well, to oppress him like a lion that is greedy for his prey, Psalms 17 and verse 12, and would tear, he said, my soul like a lion, Psalm 7 and verse 2. Well, how fitting that the devil himself is described as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Romans 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, he of course is talking of those actions of Satan through men. Many people act like lions when they roar in their attack upon that which is good and that which is right. They may be likened unto a generation of vipers in their greed and in their desire to envy others, or the sly fox, or the raging bear. But let's look at also the neighing horse. You know, horses were not widely used or highly regarded, really, in Palestine, except for war. And they were not used for farming or riding by ordinary people as a general rule. Psalms 32:9, though, warned against being like a horse which has no understanding and must have a bit and a bridle in its mouth to control it. Well, just before the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah was told to go through Jerusalem and find a just man who loved the truth. He went and looked, and what he found was rebellion and foolishness and idolatry and adultery. Do you suppose if we look through our city today, we could find a righteous man? Their fierce lust here that he found was vividly described, and I'm quoting, as fed horses in the morning, everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Jeremiah 5 and verse 8. What a sad condition envy brought upon these people. Well, here we notice then all of these animals in the devil's zoo. Here's the raging bear, the sly fox, the generation of vipers. We've also seen the roaring lion and the neighing horse. But look at the goats on the left hand. You know, at one point in the book of Zechariah, Israel was represented as a troubled, defenseless flock of sheep. Their evil shepherds and the goats, he said, were condemned. This is in Zechariah 10 and verse 3. Well, whatever the goats represent, they stand in contrast to the flock or to the sheep of God. And this reminds us of Jesus' scene of the judgment, in which there was a separation of sheep and goats. The goats represented those people who did not feed and clothe the naked. They did not visit the sick or those who were in prison. They were assigned, of course, to everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and for his angels. Matthew 25, verses 41 through 46. The goats, he said, would be on the left hand, representing the lost. The sheep, representing the saved, would be on the right hand. So we find another thing that envy does. Envy may cause itself in the evil eye to ignore the righteous acts of God and to do those things which might be termed as goats instead of sheep. Have you noticed the greedy dogs in the Bible? Yes, indeed, dogs were unclean animals to the Jews. And although they sometimes used them to guard their flocks or their houses, they were not highly regarded. The word dog came to be used as a term of derision and unworthiness. And in the messianic prophecy of Psalms 22, you recall that the wicked people who mocked and railed upon Christ were pictured as a pack of dogs surrounding him in verse 16. A fool who returns to his own folly was compared to a dog returning to his own vomit. Proverbs 26 and verse 11. Some prophets of Isaiah's day, who were supposed to be as watchmen alerting Israel of spiritual danger, and yet were not doing their work, he said, were rather like dogs who wouldn't bark, sleeping dogs and greedy dogs who couldn't even get enough. Isaiah 56, verses 10 and 11. You know, Paul warned Christians of dogs who were evil workers. He said, beware of the dogs. He was talking about the Judaizing teachers in Philippians 3:2. Why would he call them dogs? Because they were those who would bark, those who would bite, those who would destroy. And so he called them the greedy dogs. In eternity, the blessed will enter into the gates of the holy city, while the dogs, he said, will stay without. Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15. Peter used the reference concerning that verse that we noticed a moment ago concerning Christians when he said, if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they be entangled therein again and be overcome, while the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. It would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. It hath happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog returning to his own vomit, and the sow returning to her wallowing in the mire. Well, these are some of the things that envy causes, and some of the things that are used in the Bible to illustrate man's action. And again, we see the cows, or the bulls, if you please, of Bashan. Cows are usually spoken of as good and useful animals, and they are, in occasional exceptions, however, the immoral women of Samaria were called cows of Bashan. And in order to satisfy their lust for luxury and pleasure, these women oppressed the poor and crushed the needy, said Amos 4, verses 1 through 3. In the messianic prophecy, that which pertains to Christ of Psalms 22, our Lord is pictured as being beset by strong bulls of Bashan in verse 12. Now, Bashan was an area of the mountains of Samaria noted for fine pasture and herds of cattle. So we find that here again, envy may cause men to act in the wrong way. Many were envious of Christ and of his popularity among the people, and the fact that he claimed to be the Son of God. Their envy caused them to act like bulls of Bashan. Well, there's the pig in the mud. You know, as unclean animals, so swine were of little use to the Jews. When the prodigal son went away from home, he could have had no lower job whatsoever to do than to go and feed the swine. But in Luke 15, that's where he found himself, and that's what caused him to come to himself. You know, when men go so far in the depths of sin, they finally become sick of their own sickness, and they find themselves down in the pig pen, down in the mud, and they decide that they want to turn back and go back to the Father's house and find the right way of life. Well, these unclean animals, such as swine were to the Jews, are mentioned, of course, in 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22, as we noticed a minute ago. And they have a characteristic of pigs when they go back to their old washing in the mire. You know, in obedience to the gospel, we clean away sin. And a sow that has been washed may return to cleansing, or from the cleansing to wallowing in the mire, just as a Christian may return to the world. After one obeys the gospel, sometimes they grow weary in well-doing, not realizing that in due season they shall reap if they faint not. Envy brings them low, and they become once again like the pig that returns to his own wallowing in the mire. This is the unfaithful Christian wallowing in the filthy mud as Satan looks on with approval and says, oh, that's what you ought to do. But then look at the ravening wolves. You know, the wolf is usually treated as a notorious animal in the Bible. It uses and serves as a natural symbol for those in Satan's malicious zoo part, though. Ezekiel pictures the wicked princes of Israel as wolves ravening the prey, shedding blood, destroying souls, and getting dishonest gain in chapter 22 and verse 27 of Ezekiel. Jesus warned against the false teachers who had the appearance of harmless sheep, but who were in fact ravening wolves in Matthew 7:15. Paul told the Ephesian elders that men would arise from among themselves and would not spare the flock or the church of God in Acts 20:29. Now you remember also the swift eagle is spoken of. Jeremiah lamented that their persecutors were swifter than eagles, pursuing them upon the mountain and in the wilderness. Lamentations 4 and verse 19. And the prophet Obadiah, he directed his message against the Edomites. In verse 4, he said that although they proudly exalted themselves as an eagle and made their nest in the stars, yet God would bring them down. My friend, Satan still uses people who want to have envy in their eye. He uses them and their circumstances to destroy souls, to oppose the cause of Christ. Don't allow yourself to be a part of the devil's zoo. Don't be a part of being a swift eagle to run to error. Don't be a part of a ravening wolf or a pig in the mud or goats on the left hand or the greedy dogs or the neighing horse or the roaring lion or even the generation of vipers, the sly fox or the raging bear. Yes, envy will cause you to have an evil eye and cause you to sin against God.